Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/trader plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Lost to NC State.
Not a conference loss, everybody.
Not a conference loss. Their last four wins. Now, to your point, Washington State, not that bad. But their last four wins, Florida State, Louisville, Wazoo, North Carolina, three of them came in overtime, and one of them came in the Washington State game with the biggest brain fart I've seen in a while, where you had the returner, the wrong returner, called fair catch. And that led to the safety in the Washington State game. They have had a post-game win expectancy of below 50% in their last four games. So I will be on Cal. I will probably be on Wake Forest. I will probably be on Duke for all of those games. I need Virginia to get themselves some losses.
Also UVA. I'm also open to the idea that they're just 2022 TCU. You know what I mean? Because
they'll lose by 90.
Well, but even in their loss to NC State, they had the ball, first and goal, and they just threw a pick. Like they're maddening. Dumpster fire of the week. I'm actually in the camp of I am not anti Deion. Like I actually enjoy that it's something different other than just cookie cutter football speak. They're real bad.
Ooh, buddy. Yeah, that was ugly.
It's almost like if you wanted to know what they would look like without Travis Hunter and without Shadur
and pro wide receivers.
Yeah. 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 Then we'll finish here. What we got right, what we got wrong. I'll start with what I got wrong. It was a vibes play, and I knew it could go badly. It turns out, I guess on all vibes plays, I should just bet first half. But I went vibes play on LSU.
I was with you. I bet LSU.
The line screamed to me. They're daring you to take LSU, and so I 100% fell for the trap. I'm also going to say I don't know how many people are watching Ole Miss Oklahoma with the point total in mind. The fact that that game went over, if you were watching the lines of scrimmage and watching that neither team could block the other for a significant portion of time, that to me just screamed, Kiffin was like, I'm so damn sick and tired of our games going under, I'm going to get this thing over. I'm going to go for it on 4th and 1 from my own 15. I'm going to give them points there. I'm going to run like the red zone stuff. It was maddening because that game should have cruised under. And then what I got right, listen, I know it's not going great in East Lansing, but my guy Jonathan Smith, when there's a chance to get to cover town, my guy smells blood in the water.
Two straight weeks.
I mean, we had the great cover off of 2025 between Indiana and Michigan State kicking no apparent reason field goals. And then last week, with his offense not really doing anything in the second half, throwing in his backup quarterback and just marching it down the field in under 2 minutes, it brought a tear to the eye. Like, it was some of his finest work. And, again, never a threat of winning the game, really, after the fumble got called back for the offsides. But, I mean, this man just continues. He's undefeated against the spread as a dog this year. Just, he's the best.
Might be out of a job, too,
uh-huh.
Coming to the end of the year.
We nailed South Carolina.
Yep, South Carolina. I had Wake Forest. That was my favorite play of the week. That got a little squirrely there. What I got wrong, Iowa State, man, felt so good at the beginning. They were just moving the ball at will. And I don't know if you follow Parker Fleming. I know you're not on Twitter currently.
Yep.
Stats.
Well, as has been pointed out, I am on Twitter. I'm unable to access my account.
Well, maybe you could let the person know who's letting us know about your Bitcoin success.
Yes, mining.
How bad did my team get beat graph is the one he puts out. Mm-hmm. And number one was Iowa State on the opposite side of the spectrum. So that was an unfortunate one. And you were right on Auburn. I was wrong. I thought Arkansas would win that game. And
oh, no, I ended up betting Arkansas. I told you exactly how I was going
to
go.
Yeah, well, Hugh Freeze decided to finally go to the Crash and Daniels.
Well, and then also I didn't think that Arkansas would blow a 2-score lead. I thought once they'd get up. That Talon was bad, and then the fumbles were just absolutely.
Oh, and then I got one really wrong. So I went 3-3 on the podcast. So I was, even though I didn't give out South Carolina for some reason, which I was annoyed by. I did this whole thing last week about the fired coach bump and, you know, how you gotta, you know, they're successful off the fired coach, yada, yada, yada. So I bet Colorado State. They lost 28-0.
Yeah.
That was never in doubt. Can't really make excuses on that one. That was just a bad bet.
Bad, bad, bet.
I had Houston.
Go Cougs.
Arizona State letdown spot.
Well, somehow everyone had talked me into the actual sharp side was Arizona State because everyone was on Houston. Like, I don't know how. I listened to the wrong people on that one. that was just a classic. I remember even like saying, like, why did I bet this game? I don't even care to watch it. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back. We had an epic game 3 in the World Series last night. Let's talk about that and more. We'll do it all next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
This is Odyssey's Injury Report, powered by Fanatics. Let's look ahead to this week's notable football injuries.
It's QB week. Baltimore's Lamar Jackson, Minnesota's J.J. McCarthy, and Arizona's Kyle Murray are all expected to be back in action for each of their squads after missing time with injury.
That's today's report. Listen all season long for weekly injury updates, presented by Fanatics Sportsbook, the home of fair play. Download the app today.
On most sports books, an injury ruins your whole football parlay, but not on Fanatics. They have Fair Play insurance, which protects your football player prop bets from injury for the entire first half, every single game, all season long. So even if a player goes down early, you still won't take the L. Why risk it if you don't have to? Keep your bets intact and switch to Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called The List. George, fired up. World Series Game 3. All right, Tim, so there's a few notes. Number one, I don't know if we've gotten to talk about it. Has anybody been paying attention to the World Series logo?
It's back, isn't it?
I think so, right? I'm talking about in two fashions. Number one, back on the jerseys.
Yep.
And number
on the
two,
field, right?
Yep. And I think the logo kind of rocks.
I'm with you, man.
So, number one, like, we're in this day and era of, like, day and age where we won't do the introductions for the NBA Finals, and I give baseball credit. They do the pageantry part right, but we got the World Series logo back. They look great. Okay, number two, about last night. So, there's a couple of things here.
I do a segment.
About last night.
Because you always had that text message.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man.
The form facts message. Yeah.
About last night.
Yeah.
Sorry. Continue.
Okay. I don't know if I can remember a baseball game like this. And this includes the 2018 Red Sox Dodgers 18 inning game. I cannot remember a game that for the first nine, I guess I would even willing to say the 10th inning, that I'm sitting there as I'm watching it, I'm going, this might be the greatest baseball game I've ever seen. Like, it just had everything.
It was so good.
It was incredible. The theatrics, it wasn't just, oh, big plays. It was big defensive stops. The play that Edmund made, the first one, the one where the ball goes off of the glove of Freeman, he goes and does the full slide with his momentum going towards the seats in left field, gets up and throws a one-hop strike to third. I mean, that was just incredible. And then he later had the throw to the plate. We'll get into that one in a moment. But there was somewhere around the 11th inning that I started to find myself getting irritated in that
because it was 1 o'clock in the morning.
It wasn't just like how late it was. It was like, the game went from being every pitch was like must-see to now it's just like a slog that we're just trying to get through. It was like a movie that you're watching where the first hour of it is awesome, and then like the second and third acts are just absolutely awful, and they just drag, and you're like, what happened to the beginning? Like, that was awesome. And then as you just get to like the certain points, like the 14th or 15th inning, everyone's out of pitching, and you're still going, how can they not score?
Well, the thing that annoyed me the most last night was, so I had a much different experience. So I was on
You're
air.
Also, and also it helps, you are 2 hours behind. So my group,
oh my God.
Group chat, you could tell who lives in the East Coast and who still lives out West.
Oh, for sure. Like, last night was the prime example of the West Coast is the best coast, because I was like, this is great. I was like, this is awesome. Late night, I'm still
I got
relatively
home from
not
work,
tired.
Yeah.
So I met up with some buddies. I don't usually do this, but my buddy was like, hey, man, we're going out for Monday Night Football, and then, you know, we're going to watch the World Series game too. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I probably can do that, but the problem is Monday Night Football will be over, and that was a dud. I took the Commanders plus 10.5. That worked out well. And then it was the eighth inning, and I'm like, I think I can get there in time. And I'm like, don't score, don't score. I like willed extra innings into existence, and then I got to watch the whole baseball game at a bar. So it was a very different experience for me. The one thing, it was a small group, it was like four dudes, and one of them's like, apparently Dave Roberts said they're going to go to a position player. I'm like, there's no way in hell they're going to go to a position player. Like, there's no way. They're not going to concede in the 18th inning of Game 3 of the World Series. So that just annoyed me that anyone brought up the possibility that could happen. I really did kind of want to see Yamamoto go in, just because that would just be ultimate badass move. Like, I just pitched a complete game in Game 2. Yeah, I'll go out there and get the win in Game 3.
I weirdly think, I don't think this is what he was doing. I think that's maybe the greatest PR move in the history of the world. Is there not a single person when they saw him go into the bullpen that's like, that guy can play for me? Like, you know what I mean? Like, the fact that he volunteered, everyone's like, in this day and age where everyone's so risk averse and, well, what if I get hurt, whatnot, just give me the ball. Like, that to me, like, made everyone just be like, all right, I'm in on this guy.
I'm in on him. I mean, I guess he's throwing back-to-back complete games. But, I mean, we're at the point, dude, where I already believe that Shohei Ohtani is the greatest baseball player ever to walk the planet. Like, this is just insane. Like, what he did
so
in game...
So, I'm glad you brought this up, because one of my college fraternity brothers, bless his heart, he's an L.A. boy through and through.
Okay.
So, let me paint the picture for you. Kobe can do no wrong.
Sure.
Every Dodger is an all-time great. And because L.A. did not have football for his childhood, his favorite team is the New England Patriots during the Brady era.
Oh, that's gross.
Okay. So, last night, he's blowing up the group chat about Freeman and Mookie. And finally, I just said, Peter, if you really believe Freeman and Mookie are the reasons that you have, like, the best team, like, you're not watching. Freeman and Mookie should sit there and go, thank you, Shohei, for deferring all of your money and then having somebody as a fall guy for your gambling debts. And thank you, God, because we get to see pitches we would never see thanks to you.
Mookie even said it. He said, we're the Bulls, and he's Jordan.
Yeah, but this is like, you know, I have to hear about Austin Reeves from him. It's just like, oh, my God.
They lost to the Blazers last night. Say, sit in the corner, buddy. You got the Dodgers, all right?
Then there's the other thing about this guy is...
He pitches tonight. Like, are we realizing...
Oh, no, hang in there.
No, because
I'm about Shohei. Have you ever had your friend that is either Rain Man, like the smartest, like he has like a computer for a brain, or he's so dumb that you might think he's smart? That's this friend. Like... He's like an unbelievable poker player. And not like in the sense of like, oh, he beats all of us. I've watched him go into card rooms in Vegas against pros and hold his own. Like, but we can't ever figure out if like he's the dumbest person we know or he has this all figured out where he makes it seem like he's dumb and he's actually a genius. So he's just going off. And then lo and behold, after I gave up in the 15th, Freddie Freeman hits the home run. And so I have to live like with him just, you know, quoting himself about how Freeman was going to come through. And I was like, what about the other five at-bats? Because to your point, I kept
going. Reached base 9 times.
Why in God's green earth did they pitch to him in the 7th?
Here's my question. I don't have an answer for that. Secondly, do they pitch to him the rest of the series?
So, because this was my argument. I do think there is a legitimate argument if there's nobody on, if you walk him, there's a good chance he's getting to second.
Unless he falls off the bag.
Unless
he steals second, like he did last night.
Also, Major League Baseball catchers now have gotten so insane. There's one thing that actually does bother me. It bothers me more at college baseball. I can live with it in the pros because the pitchers have such unbelievable command. When I see catchers that just sit down on a knee with a runner on base, it goes against everything I was ever taught my entire life. Like, yeah, you can sit comfortably and be quiet when there's nobody on, and you can just sit and catch. But when somebody's on, you get those knees at 90 degrees, you get up, and you get ready to make a throw. And then Kirk throws out Ohtani, air quotes throws out, although I'd argue the throw was there, it was a terrible tag. But when he threw him out from his knees and was like, oh, that's why I could never have even played, like, even, like, independent baseball. Like, that throw is so insane on a frozen rope with one of the greatest base runners we've ever seen. He rips it down there from a knee, and I'm just sitting there going like, okay, these guys aren't fair anymore. But back to Ohtani, because I think it was you that pointed this out, and you're 100% right. There's one of these guys every, like, generation when you're a youth, if you played competitive baseball. There's one guy that's a myth, and then you play against him. And if you can ever remember who it was the guy that played shortstop, and he was the best shortstop. He hit 750, and then when they would you just prayed to God that, like, hey, this was a weekend where he didn't want to work on his pitching. And then he would get on the mound, and he would throw harder than everyone. He would be better than everyone on the mound. He was the best pitcher, the best hitter, the best fielder, the best everything, and it looked like a different level. The closest thing I can remember to seeing this is it wasn't even actually my age, because I was trying to rack my brain. We didn't have a guy like this my age, like, going up. But my youngest brother played with Austin Riley growing up. And while Austin was not gifted in foot speed, he was the best at everything. I have never seen glove work. Like, he could have been, if he wanted to be the best catcher, he would have been the best catcher. If he wanted to be the best infielder, he would have been the best infielder. Still the best youth hitter I've ever seen. I watched him totally get fooled in a elite showcase tournament where he's so far out on his front foot that I'm thinking, oh, well, he's just toast. He's going to swing over the top of it. He somehow, like, planted against his front leg and one-armed it off the wall. But Shohei's doing this at Major League Baseball. Like, we've seen this kid, like, in high school, in youth ball. You'll even occasionally, if you're watching college baseball in the World Series, there's occasionally a two-way guy. Like, I don't know if people remember. Buster Posey was a two-way guy.
Jack Caglione was a two-way guy, right?
But yes, he was. At ECU, Florida. I think. No. Who's the ECU kid? I saw him. No, you're right. Caglione was a two-way guy.
Because he was the closer, right?
Caglione also, I think, got starts in, like, SEC play.
Did he? Okay,
well, Tim Hudson was a two-way guy once upon a time at Auburn. Like, he
That's
was,
right.
Like, you'll see this. But
not
literally,
to this level.
We are talking about a guy that if he were just a pitcher, he would be the best pitcher in baseball. If he's just, we've already seen when he just hits and just plays the field, he's the best player in baseball. The fact that, like, there's even a competition of, like, who should be the MVP of this series. It's like, are you kidding me?
We had this discussion last night because, you know, I think the odds, I forget what they were. He was a favorite going into last night to win MVP because you have to set it up that way because of what he's capable of doing. And I think the host of the previous show on VSiN was saying, you know, could you make an argument for someone else from a betting standpoint, you know, value all of that? And I'm like, I don't think so, because he pitches tomorrow. And the last time we saw him pitch, he struck out 10 dudes, and he's the most influential batter.
In a game where he tied the major league record for home runs in a game.
Like,
in a postseason game.
In baseball, and I think this is what's so mind-blowing about Shohei. Baseball's not like this, right?
No, we don't. There aren't many times you can
Shohei
say, like,
and Mike Trout were on the same team.
That never made the playoffs.
And never made the playoffs. But here is this dude. And would the Dodgers be the best team in baseball without him? It's certainly possible. They won the World Series in the COVID season without him.
That COVID season doesn't count.
But what this guy did in Game 4 against the Brewers is, I think, the greatest baseball performance in the history of the sport. And he reached base 9 times last night in a World Series game that went 18 innings. 9 times he reached base.
I think it legitimately begs the question, because this was my brain dead buddies, or maybe Rain Man buddies point. Freddie Freeman has more clutch moments. Yeah, because anytime the game matters, you just say, put him on. Like,
Okay. So Freddie Freeman hits a grand slam last year in game one. Amazing
yep.
moment. He hits the home run last night. Amazing moment. Do you have an RBI double that Shohei scored on, if I remember correctly?
I'm pulling it up.
So I don't disagree. I think Freddie Freeman
I think Freddie Freeman's a very good player.
He's amazing.
To but act
did
like
he,
that.
Did he strike out 10 batters in a clinching game of the NLCS and hit three home runs in game 4 of the NLCS? And then last night, he leads off the game with a double. Guess who didn't bring him home in the first inning? Freddie Freeman.
On top
they could
of
have got to Max Scherzer in the first inning. They did not. Like,
no,
Freddie Freeman's amazing.
I'm trying to see if it was. You're right. He did have the RBI single. Okay. How many other ABs did he have between the 8th and the 18th where he could have won the game?
He had a deep drive. I don't remember what inning. It was like 15th or 16th, and he knew it wasn't a home run, but he hit one to the warning track. They all blend together. One of the innings, he hit a deep drive.
But I mean, this is kind of the other thing. It's like we're now at this point with Shohei where I don't think you can even afford it. We are dealing with Bonds stuff.
Yes. And Bonds who pitches.
Correct.
He pitches. And he's pitching tonight. He's the starting bleeping pitcher tonight.
He's pitching tonight. And then on top of that, like, it looked like he tweaked something.
Did he?
Yeah, because there was one of the times where he was just standing at second base and Roberts goes out. That's the other thing. It's like, I have no idea.
How is he so fast, too? That's the crazy thing.
I think it's like, do you remember Matt Jones at Arkansas and then he got drafted? I think it's the same thing. I think they're just long striders and you just don't realize, like, it looks like they're not fast, but, like, no one catches them. Like, that's the only thing I think. It's like, it's that kind of thing. But Roberts went out there. But then this is the other thing. Is Roberts great?
No.
Like, that's the other thing. It's like, Roberts, now he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm just like, oh, my God. I'm upset that after the Second World War, we introduced baseball to them. Because now I'm having to live with every Dodger fan that's just importing all these great Japanese players and then buying the rest of the league. And it's like, it's awful.
I think Dave Roberts, it's pretty clear, has a great command of that locker room. And I think they really like him. And I think that's a skill, right? Brian Kelly would like that skill. I don't think he's a great tactical manager by any
stretch. Well, it's like one of those other things. Like, I never know. Like, is Joe Torre a great manager? Because, like, there's a pretty good piece of evidence that, like, you take Joe away from one of the greatest rosters we've ever seen, a lot of jobs he got fired from. Yep. Like, he was okay with the Dodgers in that last stint. But it's like, I don't know. Like, and at the same point, it's like, I guess there's a certain level of doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think it's doesn't matter. I don't know. I mean, there's probably great coach. I know for a fact, there are great coaches that get fired in the NBA or fired as managers.
Rick Carlisle got fired.
Right. It's like, well, sometimes you just don't have the players and you can only do so much. And I'm not trying to crap on
Roberts.
But the fact that their lineup is MVP, MVP, MVP is just ridiculous. Like,
this has been the spin zone I've had in my brain. I'm glad the Dodgers can finally get out of the opening round so that we don't have to listen to the arguments about changing the format so they can make sure they advance. Remember when we were doing that? Like, when they were losing in wild card rounds, like, we won 107 games. Like, you didn't win three.
Yeah.
All right, this was the other thing I was thinking about last night. I know I don't like to put you in this spot because you're a little bit more trying to, you try to book guests better than I do. Who's our boy, Joe? So who's the lead play-by-play guy?
Joe Davis?
Joe Davis.
Yeah.
All right. I have found myself thinking his voice is too good of an announcer voice to the point in which when I'm listening, I almost wonder if it's AI. Because it's like, ChatGPT, give me the voice of a professional baseball announcer, and it's Davis. And I also found myself not knowing him, because everyone that I do know him says, hey, this guy's like salt of the earth guy, like great guy. I understand this is totally not his fault, but it's like, the fact that you're the Dodgers play-by-play guy doesn't make me enjoy this anymore. Like, you're in-depth knowledge of the Dodgers and everything, it just makes me more annoyed. And he's clearly playing it down the middle. I want to be very clear on this. But then the other thing I was thinking about last night was we send Burkhart to the number one NFL game every week, correct? He's still working with Brady? And Burkhart's got to get on that desk and do pre and post? But all of a sudden, asking Joe to still go and do the number two football game? That's a bridge too far? Like, if I'm Burkhart and I'm Burkhart's agent, I'm going, what the hell, man? He's the number one NFL guy. And you're still sending him to every desk, and yet Joe can't do all this? Joe can't be bothered to do one NFL game and fly private there and back? Because now they've got, who has Olsen been paired? Because this is back when, and granted, I understand the precedent is there, but the difference was Joe Buck was the lead. He was number one NFL and number one baseball. So during...
He would miss a game.
So because Tom Brenneman would oftentimes do the pinch hitting. And then I don't remember who started pinch hitting. Did Brenneman get fired or fired after Buck went to ESPN or before?
Before. I think Brenneman got fired in.
So maybe
COVID,
Davis got
right?
bumped up?
Yes, I believe that is accurate, that he jumped into the number one seat.
Yeah, because there's going to be that period of who was going to be their number one, and then they ended up just splitting the difference. Like, Burkhart got football, and then Davis got baseball. Yeah, so that's where my brain went during a 18-inning baseball game last night. Oh, and then also, all right, let's talk about the one, sending Schneider. So here was my thought. Yeah, it was going to take two perfect throws. But I would imagine the third base coach knows Schneider's probably not 100%. And even if he were 100%, have you ever seen somebody round third that you're like, that guy's out of gas? Quite like that?
Maybe someone trying to make an inside the park home run or something like that. Like,
correct.
That, you know. I mean, what made me laugh was Will Smith
almost missed the tag.
Kicked in.
Yes.
He slapped the tag down and he was like, oh, where is he?
He almost missed the tag because the throw got there so early that he laid the tag down and the runner and Schneider wasn't there.
He had to pick it back up and then he almost got called for blocking the plate.
Which I
would have lost my mind.
The first time they call that will be the next time. The next time they call it's the first time I'll see it.
Right.
Like, they caught in high school baseball. That's about it. How about Smoltz also going hardcore? Didn't Smoltz play some... I think... Wasn't Smoltz also a hockey player growing up? Smoltz knowing the rule that based on where Smith was and where Schneider was, Schneider technically had the ability to run him over and it wasn't against the rules.
Really?
That was such a hard-o move. That was probably before you got to sound. Yeah. Smoltz was, like, laying it... Because Fox now has a baseball rules analyst because, you know, we need more of those.
Sure.
And Smoltz holds him up for a follow-up after the explanation of the review. And he goes, now, to be clear, and like he listed the indicators necessary. To be clear, Schneider could have run him over, right? And the umpire's trying to think of how to say yes, but without saying he can run him over because clearly he works for the league. And he's like, yes, at that point, the runner would have been entitled to a collision.
One last thing on the game. I didn't have sound early on. What the hell happened on the Bo Bichette pickoff?
So, late strike three call.
Oh.
So, what happened was Bichette...
Because Bichette started to go back to first... And then saw Varsho take off his elbow pad.
Correct.
So he just turned. So and he turned away from home plate. So his back was to the to home plate.
So for those that don't know, full count, one out. Bichette thinks it's ball four and starts like walking to second. And then it was a late strike three call. And then they threw over and got him. This was the other thing. Because I'm not online, I have no idea what was being said online, but I can tell by the group chat, which is also full of Dodger fans, so you can tell how I'm feeling. Hand up. I didn't think the umpire was that bad. There were a lot of these calls that everyone's thinking are borderline, and then they show K-Zone. And granted, you're a victim to what K-Zone is. Am I woke on K-Zone? I don't know. But there were a lot of times where I was like, that guy got it right.
Well, you're a former catcher, so you want to get some framing to the I mean, I am.
I do love Frank, but I'm also, I am begrudgingly. Whenever you did the summer baseball job and I was umpiring, I just always took the plate because I was a catcher and I was like, I was overall pretty good at it. But I also know what it's like to sit there and go, hey, man, I just nailed 95 pitches in a row. I probably missed that one. But it's like you just don't get credit for it. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course.
Like, yeah, it's, I mean, insanely difficult.
It's all officiating is more often is very thankless. By the way, do you have a good strike call?
Oh, yeah. Come on. You got to practice in the mirror. I
feel like I would have had the one thing I feel confident in, I had a very good punch out. Got to throw the arm up in the air and then do the strong punch.
No, so you gotta have a setup move. So number one,
well, you throw the hand up.
No, you gotta have a setup move in terms of the whole AB. It's not just about the strikeout pitch. It's a pitch.
Ha!
It's a pitch sequence. So I would have a move where, I would kind of like, if it was a called strike, I would start like kind of down the middle, like pointing at the plate, and then point over whatever side, either right or left, depending on which hitter was up, and then that also would set up the punch out, because you do the exact same move first. It was like a play action pass, but with my punch out.
We just got notes on tunneling for umpires.
Oh yeah,
love it.
Oh yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about this Big 12 mess that's on the horizon. Talk about it next with Tim. We'll do that right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer, switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Hey, Tim, truthfully, we might get more information next Tuesday night when we actually will see at least our first peek at what the playoff committee is thinking about in terms of the rankings. I actually like the first rankings because I think the first rankings, more times than not, you can kind of reverse engineer their thought process and you can start to see what's going to matter. As the next few weeks roll on, then it just becomes more TV than anything. So I get less invested in it, but I am at least interested on the first part. So we talked about the ACC a little bit, which is something to monitor, particularly if you're one of these SEC teams that's not going to play for the SEC championship game.
Correct.
So as mentioned, Georgia Tech currently undefeated with remaining games against NC State, Boston College, both road games, Pitt, is their final ACC game, and then they'll play Georgia and presumably the ACC championship game. We have then mentioned the new 2022 TCU, which is UVA. They have at Cal, Wake, at Duke, Va Tech left. Also undefeated in the league, because remember their NC State game is a non-conference game. Pitt is sitting with one loss and games remaining against Stanford. The Notre Dame game does not count in the standings, correct? Even though it's part of the ACC thing.
Non-conference, so, yep.
They have at Stanford, at Georgia Tech, Miami. Pitt is probably going to see it's either earn their way in or see themselves out. Like, you know what
no,
I mean?
No doubt. Yeah, there's no gray area with Pitt.
Correct.
They're either going to be, like you said, earn their way in, they're going to have to beat Miami, or they're going to lose to Miami and be out.
Correct. And they have at Georgia Tech. So
correct, yep.
Correct. Like, now, them playing spoilers also makes all the sense in the world. Louisville, who currently owns the tiebreaker against Miami, they have at Virginia Tech left, Cal at home, Clemson at home, at SMU, and then they have a non-conference game against Kentucky. So by my math, maybe, possibly they're a slight dog against Clemson, but I find that hard to believe at this point.
At home, they're probably a favorite. I don't know what the number will be at SMU. SMU this week, by the way, for those wondering, 11-point underdog at home.
That's Miami. Going up too, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, there was part of me, as someone who bet Wake Forest plus 3.5, I wanted that field goal to miss because I wanted to get under 10 because I think Miami rips SMU limb from limb.
All right, then people, I don't know if they know this, SMU still with that one loss, even though it's Wake, they have Miami this Saturday.
Which is huge.
Again, now this could also solve some things.
Now look, SMU, as much as I think they stink, they could win that game and then it changes a 100%. Whole lot.
At Boston College, Louisville at Cal. I do think the thing gets interesting is what happens with a two-loss Miami, with a win against Notre Dame and a win against South Florida and a win against maybe a 5-7 Florida State team. But I got to think they're not feeling great with two losses. But that would be interesting because they could usher themselves out. Duke is still alive in this thing, believe it or not. At Clemson, UConn non-conference game, UVA at home and at North Carolina, and then they finish with Wake. So they're still very much alive, and the reason why I bring that up is if they get into the championship game, they'll be favored against Georgia Tech. I'll bet them again, and they'll lose. But still, if they were to win the game, we have a problem. And then Miami has remaining games against at SMU on Saturday, Syracuse at home, North Carolina State at home, at Virginia Tech, at Pitt. There is a very real scenario where what happens if Miami, there's still a scenario where Miami can win out at 11-1.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville and Tech meet in the ACC championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say Tech beats Georgia, but loses the title game. Are all three of those teams in?
Well, Louisville's in because they won the conference.
Correct. And are they really going to leave out a 12-0 Georgia Tech with a win over Georgia?
No.
I don't think they're leaving out Miami. So then, I guess to your point, maybe that could bump out Notre Dame.
That's the doomsday scenario. Obviously unlikely, but, I mean, Georgia Tech did force 37 overtimes against Georgia a year ago. By the way, do you know, I believe Georgia Tech took a $2 million paycheck from Georgia to play the game at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Yep.
Boy, are they kicking themselves about that this year.
Or are they sitting there going, hey, that went straight to NIL.
Fair.
These are the decisions. I mean, that's what Auburn moved a home game next year to Atlanta. Same thing. They took a check. Okay, so then we get to the Big 12, which I think most people believe one bid league. Although I have found myself weirdly defending the Big 12. If we're talking about the Big 12 versus the ACC, I think the Big 12 is a better league. Like
I'll say this. I don't disagree. The problem is
the top.
Miami
correct.
Proved that the doomsday scenario is that Miami doesn't get in, or the ideal scenario for the ACC on the flip side is that Miami doesn't get in, because they've proven that they are capable of beating the best teams in the country, i.e. beating Notre Dame in week one.
Okay, so what I am willing to say this, though, it's going to be very difficult if you have two losses or more to get an at-large. So I'm looking at it. There are four teams right now in the Big 12 with one loss or fewer in conference play. BYU, Cincinnati, Texas Tech, Houston. BYU's undefeated. Cincinnati's one loss is week one to Nebraska in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Tech has the Arizona State loss, and Houston has a loss to Texas Tech. So BYU's remaining schedule is at Texas Tech next week, TCU at home, at Cincinnati, UCF. Cincinnati's remaining schedule is Arizona, BYU, at TCU. Tech has
Cincinnati plays Utah this weekend.
Sorry, I had that one. I left that one off because that showed up weirdly. So they have Utah, Arizona, at Utah, Arizona, BYU, at TCU. Texas Tech has at Kansas State, BYU at home, UCF at home, West Virginia. Houston has West Virginia, at UCF, TCU, at Baylor. So what I start to see is, okay, all four of these teams are not going to play their way into convention, but what if we get a situation where Cincinnati beats BYU at home?
What do they do this weekend?
Let's say Cincinnati runs the table and they go into that championship game at 11-1.
Okay.
And let's say BYU beats Texas Tech next week. So that would eliminate Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. And then they lose to Cincinnati on the road, but then they win the revenge game. Or let's come up with a scenario where...
So that's one bid, because Cincinnati has two losses. They're not getting in with two losses, and BYU gets in as the champ. I think it's a very hard scenario.
So the undefeated team has to lose in the title game. Okay,
correct.
Let's do that.
So you're
let's do
BYU,
that. Let's say BYU wins at Texas Tech. They beat TCU. They beat Cincinnati on the road, and they beat UCF. But then Texas Tech figures out their way into the championship game, and then they win. Are they really leaving out 12-1 BYU?
I don't think so.
So now we're sitting in a situation that is really not insane. Now, granted, I oftentimes think football plays itself out.
I think it will, because, look, I give them credit for where they're at now. BYU is losing next weekend to Texas Tech, and I think they will lose at Cincinnati. I think if BYU loses a regular season game, in my opinion, that eliminates the Big 12 from a two-bid league.
All right.
I think there's just two, because you're not, even though you're not going to punish a team for a conference championship loss, they're going to punish a team for a conference championship loss. And then everybody in that conference will have a minimum of two losses that didn't win the conference. So in order for the scenario that you played out to happen, BYU needs to run the table and then lose in the Big 12 championship.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, let's go to Kirby Smart. He was asked yesterday about how difficult it is to tackle DJ Lagway. He said, quote, "Finishing on a guy that big is harder than you think."
Oh, my God.
phrasing. Seriously, we're really not doing phrasing again.
All right, my man. Have a great rest of your week.
All right, see you, man.
That is, of course, Tim Murray. If you missed anything, he'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.